welcome into the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer, recapping and previewing the week that was and the week that shall be for UNLV football. A dismal performance last weekend at San Diego State, which, you know, not entirely shocking just because the Aztecs, one of the two best teams in the league, but UNLV's offense just could accomplish nothing. The entire game, crossed the 50-yard line only once, didn't complete a pass until late into the third quarter. So that's obviously where we need to start things as you look ahead to now a second straight road game at Hawaii, a team that was picked a distant last in the West Division preseason, but is currently at the top of the standings at 2-0. And it's also, now they don't go there every other year, but UNLV, just like at Qualcomm, has not won at Aloha Stadium since 2000. So even when Hawaii's not good, this is not an easy trip, and there was nothing to inspire confidence from the second game of Dalton Sneed's tenure here. So, Ray, are you significantly more concerned than last week when you were convinced that Dalton Sneed was the answer for the next 4 years?
I mean, you have to be, just because, I mean, the proof is in the numbers. Two completions, 9 yards. The Rebels weren't able to – this is the first game all year they weren't able to do anything on the ground in terms of running the ball. And, I mean, they were – I mean, we knew they were going to lose, but I don't think we suspected the manner in which they would lose. And that was just struggling to get out of the gates offensively. I thought everything that Sneed did right against Fresno State, he didn't come close to even – doing or maybe even attempting to do after that first throw interception against San Diego State. And, you know, you when you have to be at your best to stay competitive and you make an early mistake, it's not going to work out for you. And to Hawaii's credit, they're not as bad as – I mean, they went to San Jose State last week and won.
Yep.
They're not as bad as I thought they would be, but it's still a game where UNLV is going to have an opportunity to pick up a dub.
Their two victories are at home against Reno, is basically like 38-17, and then at San Jose State, 34-17. UNLV's defense, actually, so they scored the one touchdown early in the game. It was a forced fumble that was picked up and scored by Dominic Baldwin. And they were pretty solid throughout, like wore down because they were just on the field way, way too much by the end of it. But they were decent. And so it's the second game where afterward, and it sounds weird for this one, but the Central Michigan game was one that Sanchez right afterward put on the offense for just not even giving them a chance. Now, that game featured all kinds of blown calls in the secondary and a lot more problems than we saw defensively in this one, but a similar feeling of if the offense just could have given a little more, just something, give them some hope that keeps them off the field, gets you more prepared, and then, you know, less opportunities for mistakes there. So I guess the positive, Talojalele was great. Linebackers were good overall. But, man, that the offensive line just got dominated, which is something that we haven't seen all year. And I don't know how many defensive lines are going to be able to push them around the way that San Diego State's was. But that's, you know, that's a big concern when your strength becomes, you know, effectively a weakness.
How much of the porous offense was – the quarterback, which now you got a question if UNLV has one on their roster.
Hold on.
I'm not done with my question. Versus the fact that they couldn't get anything going in running the ball, and that led to bad plays on.
Well, no, you can't run the ball because they loaded the box, and they were able to keep doing that over and over because you had nothing in the passing game. So, I mean, it starts with you can't run the ball because you can't pass. Like, that's that chicken and egg scenario to me is very easy. So hold on. Last week, came in bragging about how right you were.
First of all,
Dalton Sneed.
We're in the middle of being objective here, and both you guys got these little crappy grins on your face.
No, I'm laughing at what's going on.
No, actually, I'm just saying. Last week I proclaimed him to be Joe freaking Montana. I thought we had our guy for 4 years, and you know what? He took a gigantic step backwards, and we answered our own question. We said, "How in the heck could this kid not even been in the conversation to play?" And we learned how to play. You guys were right. I was wrong.
Learn from the mistake of one. Like, instead, so you overhyped him for one, and then it gets brought back down. You don't need to say he's definitely not a quarterback now. Like, your swings are violent.
Did they have to be? He was two completions for 9 yards.
I had to watch it.
I mean, and it just goes. UNLV's done a great job, you know, in the Sanchez era. They've got three quarterbacks they've brought in: Palandek, Snead, and Stanton in that order. Yeah, Palandek was a JC guy who came mid year.
Was Houks, and they kept him. So like
they didn't
cast him off, but he was our
okay. Defender. The three guys they've brought in do a great job of doing the read option, and when you're running the ball, it actually works, right? The I'm going to put it in your tummy, then I'm going to pull it back and run, right? Yeah. Stanton's rushed for more than 100 yards. Snead had more than that in one play. Palandek, we think, should be a running back. But they can't throw the ball. I mean, how much money does Devontae Boyd lose every game?
I mean,
is that a fair question?
I mean, it pegs him as like a surefire NFL guy in the first place, which I'm not like positive is the case. I think he's probably got a chance.
Okay.
You know, sort of fringe guy. But we saw, you know, Devontae Davis was a more established guy in college, and he's already out of football, never really made it.
Didn't have the speed as Devontae Boyd, but go ahead.
Also had better hands than Devontae Boyd.
Devontae Boyd goes up and gets it. He does. He's a ball hawk. Anyways, we're not picking an NFL draft for him, or I'd be out of a job because I obviously can't evaluate any talent as in Dalton Snead.
You loved that Roberto Aguayo second-round pick. Not to totally change the subject. But
dude hit a game winner last night. Does that not count?
After missing two earlier kicks.
He's missed four kicks in four games.
Yeah, that's awful. That's any other really kicker bad. Would be out of
he's
a job.
He's 21 years old. This is his first year in the league. Let him.
I'm not going to get into this. I'm just saying that shows that you're might have to question your evaluation talent. No, I was only smirking to go back to you getting mad that we're teaming up because I knew what Taylor was going to say to you. I actually overall am, you know, we give you a lot of grief on this podcast, but I'm happy with your overall assessment of this game because it was just so ugly, and I was afraid that if any of us were going to come in here, you were going to come in here with some excuses and, oh, UNLV's still okay. And I think at this point of the season, when something like this happens, I mean, you have to take a step back and just say, okay, something's wrong for putting up 9 passing yards. I don't care. I mean, San Diego State I know is great. They're a very good team. They got a great defense. But at some point, we got to stop excusing this away. And they can still write it. There's still an opportunity. But this was an awful performance.
But without changing personnel, which would mean bringing the red shirt off of Armani Rogers, like, this is what you have to work with.
Well, just like I think what you were saying, in that we shouldn't get too carried away from one extreme to the other. I mean, I was probably too high even on Dalton Snead, too, after the Fresno State game. But maybe now we don't get too, like, this is what we have. This guy's going to be 2 for 12, throw an interception his first pass at 9 yards. I mean, maybe there's a happy medium. The happy medium's not going to be extremely pretty. You're not going to be the guy I think is going to lead your program for the next 4 years. But I don't think all hope is lost. But at the same time, I think that this game, there's just not much positive, especially on the offensive side of the ball. There's just nothing you can say to be happy about what happened on Saturday.
I mean, I think the huge part that helps is most of the defenses the rest of the year, Boise State, you know, toss them out of this conversation. But most of them will be closer to Fresno State's defense than San Diego State's defense. And there's, you know, some better ones in there. You know, Fresno State was just awful. But it's not going to be as difficult. The offensive line is not going to get dominated in the same way. And, you know, this could be a huge learning experience for Dalton Snead, who Sanchez said got faked out many times, ended up basically the San Diego State defense showed him something, got him to audible into a call that they wanted. And then, you know, obviously we're successful with that to the point that they took away Snead's check privileges at the line in the second half. So he wasn't able to change any play calls. So that just being able to read defenses and understand what you're seeing, you know, it's his second Division I game. So things like that are going to take time.
You're going up against, you know, most likely much less physical defensive lines the rest of the way. So certainly I don't think he's as bad as we saw there, but I also didn't think after the Fresno State game that he was as good as people were saying. Remove the amazing play and you had Johnny Stanton numbers without turnovers. And then the first pass.
But you had somebody who was confident where Stanton lacked the confidence.
Again, you way too much read into that guy.
Dude, today. I'm an emotional guy. Forget about the he has a little swagger. He still has a little swagger. Let me ask you this. The fact that they let him go so long without putting Palandak in, is that an indicator that that shoulder's probably a little worse than we thought it was?
I don't know what to read into that anymore. Tony said after the game that both guys were going to play on Saturday, but that's like the third time that he's told me that, and it has yet to happen. You know, Palandak made his first appearance just in garbage time against San Diego State.
Well, he did technically play.
He did. Well, he did, yes. But this game wasn't one where he was supposed to. You know, so they're both supposed to play. Which, will that hurt Dalton Sneed's swaggering confidence? I'm not sure. I don't know the mentality of the kids. But that is something that they're going to try, is to balance it out a little more. So, like, you know, good idea, bad idea? What do you guys think? You know, if it's like a series or two for Palandak each half.
It's all flow of the game. I mean, if Sneed actually starts doing something, especially completing passes, you'd be crazy to break his rhythm and put Palandak in there. So it's all timing. If the offense is sputtering, if, you know, maybe you only get a field goal on a drive when you could have done more, maybe it's time for a change. But essentially, it's like in baseball when you have a pitcher who throws gas and then you bring in somebody who throws an oil can. You know, it's a change of pace that fools everybody. There's no change of pace with Palandak and Sneed. It's the same dude.
Yeah. You know, and I think Tony has made the case that they're different, but how different are they really?
Last names on the back of the jersey and numbers. I mean, same height, same build, same speed, same ability to throw the ball 10 yards, same ability not to throw the ball 11 yards.
I think Palandak's got him by a couple inches.
Possibly does. And I tell you what, they're both more confident than Stanton.
Stanton seemed pretty confident in that Jackson State game.
Again, Jackson State was like playing
Idaho.
No, it was like playing Fresno State.
Yeah, I mean, I actually agree with you as far as I'm kind of indifferent about switching them out or not. I mean, just from what we've seen, I don't think one guy is going to give you that change of pace or be so much better than the other. I think a lot of times this quarterback swapping and not deciding is you know, grounds for people having really strong opinions, like, oh, this never works, this is awful, or, oh, look at this innovation that's been going on for 30 years, it's not really innovation, but I just am indifferent. It really depends on the pieces, and I don't feel like it's going to excite me or make me feel less about UNLV's chances at this point.
Here's the bottom line. Saturday at Hawaii, winnable game.
Yep.
They were competitive there in Houck's last game, or second to last game. But yeah, the game before he got fired. The teams are exactly even on paper. You know, Hawaii's up a little bit because they won at Fresno, but they have a lot of young players in a lot of key spots. At San Jose, yeah. So, I mean, they've got two local kids who play significantly for a linebacker for Hawaii, both of which UNLV didn't offer scholarships to. And, you know, this is the game that, okay, we're, you know, a year and a half into the Sanchez era. This is a game you got to win, man. I mean, this is a winnable game. This is a game you got to show some progress. This is a game you got to shore up your offense. You should be able to pound the rock. And I think, you know, if Lex and Charles, who I thought, by the way, got knocked out at the San Diego State game, Charles Williams, I was a little nervous.
Oh, when he did come up.
I was just like, oh, boy, there goes my chicken chimichanga. Yeah.
I think it was maybe just like a good thigh bruise. Because he took a solid shot and he was down for a second, but he got up and got off the field.
But I think if UNLV could run the ball, which I suspect they'll be able to do, that they'll have an opportunity to win this game. Now, Hawaii's an 8-point favorite.
Is that right?
Now, somehow, last week, San Diego State, the defending league champs, were only a 14-point favorite.
Closed at like 16.
Okay, opened it at this time, but when we were talking, it was 14.
Yeah.
So either A, folks are really thrilled. I mean, it's tough to talk the line in Hawaii because of the travel there, but
always a factor.
This is a game that UNLV should be competitive in, should have a chance to win, and they just need to pound the rock, baby. Remember back in the day when UNLV used to score on like every opening drive?
Yeah, not that long ago.
I know. And now it's like you're behind the eight ball almost instantly. But
I kind of two questions as we look at the rest of the season. Halfway through for the games, 2-4 overall, 1-1 in league play. So I think we all agree Boise State road game, that's a loss. The other five games are essentially toss-ups for UNLV. At Hawaii, Wyoming at home, Reno at home, Colorado State at home, and at San Jose State. All five of those reasonable that the Rebels could win. Sitting here right now, knowing what we know about them on offense, defense, and special teams, like, what can they do record-wise in those five?
Like you said, I still think most of them are all toss. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a spread that's bigger than a touchdown in any of them. So I think you're looking at 3-2 or 2-3.
I mean, as much as it pains me, I may have to agree, just because this team has never, or this program, five-game winning streaks just don't happen. You know, we've seen seasons where there were winnable games at the end last year, a few years with Hauk, and they just lost.
Yeah, like the only year where they won all of the winnable games was the bowl year.
Yeah. And, I mean,
even that, a couple got dropped.
Could like they get right there. Could they get hot? Could they start, you know, gaining some confidence? I mean, yeah, the defense is much better. You're not going to find a team, with the exception of Boise, who really smacks you around in the trenches. I think if you could start running the ball, then things could happen. But we're still talking about a losing mentality into a winning mentality. And, you know, 2-3 would give you four wins, a small, small step in the right direction. So 3-2 gives you five wins, which is a two-win improvement. I think you'd be content with that.
So, I mean, it sounds like you guys are fairly optimistic yet for the rest of the way. You know, can get to 4-5, which means you're maybe heading into the last game with a chance at 6. So, hypothetical for Saturday, like, let's say Snead goes down with injury. Palandek, as far as we know, good to play the whole time. We don't know yet Stanton's long-term health. But we're halfway through the year. Would you pull Rogers' redshirt for any reason?
If I thought I had a chance to go to a bowl game and I needed a win and I was up and Snead gets hurt, play him. Hell yeah. That's what he's there for.
I was going to lean no. Now, I know less. I've seen Armani Rogers and know way less about him than you two, so I would cede to you two on this debate. But I feel like you have to really be stretching at this point to say we have a chance at a bowl. And I agree with Brewer that if you feel like you have that chance, then sure, pull it. I personally don't see it right now, so I would say keep it on him.
I think the Rogers ship has sailed this season.
And he's far from a finished product. I mean, he's
and
got...
That's the other thing, like, because I was going through Time Hop recently and saw that this was kind of the point in the year last year when I was saying I want to see Snead out there because I think he's at least possibly a better option than the injured quarterback you have in Decker and the non-quarterback you have in Palandek. But at the same time, I acknowledge we have no clue. He's a freshman. Like, we just don't know. And they end up, you know, holding the redshirt onto him. I think long-term it's the better idea. I don't think a bowl game is going to be within reach here. I would not be shocked by 1-4 performance in those five winnable games, just because
as long as that one is the last one,
the last one, keep that canon, you know. But at the same time, I'm kind of with you. I think 2-3 around there is most likely.
Eventually UNLV needs to play a player at quarterback who it's not his first time doing it,
you know. So like a Division I transfer.
Like somebody who has experience, who's taken reps in college football, not junior college football.
Okay, so a Division I transfer.
Yeah. I mean, if you hit the reset button, you let Stanton, Decker, Palandek, I mean, Stanton, Snead, Palandek, and Rogers fight it out. Rogers wins. Oh, great. Now you got another guy taking his first college snap. Year three, and you've kind of circled around in the same spot.
Yeah,
that kind of goes against the whole like program building thing, just bring in kids that are going to help you in the long run and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, the good programs have quarterbacks who actually have played 20 games.
Well, because they played 20 games at the place. I'm very confused.
Yeah, this is let's think about, like you're saying, the best programs. Let's think about like the best college quarterbacks right now, or like recently. Okay, like the recent Heisman winners, Marcus Mariota started as a freshman at Oregon. Jameis Winston started as a freshman at Florida State. Johnny Manziel started as a freshman at Texas A&M. The best programs recruit these kids.
Okay, none of the guys in the UNLV competition are Mariota. You were
the one that said the best programs. That's the only reason I use that.
I'm just saying, like, the kid at Clemson, been there for a minute. The Ohio State quarterback.
Played as a freshman.
Been there for a minute.
Played as a freshman.
Again. All right.
So do you want the Ohio State quarterback to transfer to UNLV?
That's what I want.
I just
That's
don't get where you're going with this at all.
Going nowhere. I'm very confused, too. But you know what? 9 passing yards has a way of confounding anybody to the point where they'll just search for answers. By the way, it's only second worst in program history. Anybody know who had the worst?
Palandek?
8 yards?
Herring. Yep. One, okay. And he only completed
there was
one
pass. Palandek had like less than 20 once last year.
Probably.
Didn't he?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. But yeah, it was Caleb Herring 2011 game against Reno. And guess what? Things worked out for Caleb Herring.
For 5 games.
No, for like 9.
And they worked out really well. Gave Bobby Houck about $900,000.
Yeah. That is correct. Oh, the UNLV checkbooks are hurting.
Bobby had to send that kid a Christmas card every month of the year.
All right. That'll do it for us. An intriguing matchup heading over to the Big Island. You can watch it here on Fox 5 locally. Pick that up. Watch the great Robert Kakua on play-by-play for Ray, for Case. I am Taylor, and we'll talk to you guys next week.